The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. It's 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt, Lana, and the King. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the fan. Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. We've got Chuck and Chernoff on the fan. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the fan.
Yeah, it is. As we get things cranked up in our 3 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff, thanks so much for making us a part of your Monday. We have a bowl, which is super, that is now set. But first, let me remind you, the 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Charles Oliver. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, man.
Can you ask me a question?
Oh, yeah, I see a question. Did you enjoy the games yesterday?
One of them. We were robbed of the first game because once the quarterback went down, that was like watching a little kid football game where the other team who was trailing didn't have a quarterback. So we were stuck for 2.5 hours waiting for the game to end. I will tell you that much.
But we got a money's worth in the second one, man.
We got a good finish. It was a weird, not the best played game, but we got a finish.
The final 16 minutes of that game. I was thinking about this earlier, like as a Falcons fan, for instance, there were more holy smokes moments in the final 16 minutes of that game than there were in the entire Falcons season.
I hate that both games were defined by a lot of weirdness in the officiating. You know, we've discovered this new thing where we can do this very quick, not replay, but where the officials can get together and even on high come down and tell you, okay, we've looked at it and that was an incomplete pass. You don't have to replay. There was one instance in the second game where Zach Taylor was throwing a challenge flag and he was going to win it. But the referees got together and it was on the, maybe it was on a Mahomes fumble. I don't remember what it was. But they very quickly were like, okay, the call on the field, we changed it, don't have to replay it. Whereas in the first game, there was not a great look at what was clearly not a catch.
Devonta.
On the Devontae Smith play.
When it was still a ball game, by the way.
It was scoreless at that point, right? But, it, you know, at that point, the Eagles are, and you see him telling them, let's get up and run the play. He knew it.
It was a hell of an effort.
It was a great effort. But the point is, we got to figure out something, you know, and I know it's up to the discretion of the team to throw the challenge flag and hope they get it right. But when one set of rules is, all right, the refs got together and you don't have to challenge because we looked at it. Another set of rules is you better get challenge flag in. That there was too much of that stuff yesterday. Fair. That sort of like got itself too much involved in the play. But we do get the Chiefs and the Eagles who will meet in Arizona in 13 days. Congratulations to former Georgia Tech kicker Harrison Butker, who came up with the game-winning kick. With 3 seconds left, the 46-yarder to put the Chiefs into the Super Bowl. Now, the Chiefs were locked and loaded and ready to just go hammer on the Bengals in the postgame. Travis Kelce's giving you got to fight for your right to party. Tell those bums to go back to Cincinnati, the mayor, and all that stuff.
I'm a jabroni.
Yeah, keep your mouth closed, know your role.
And then Kelce called him a jabroni.
Then you had Frank Clark, who also called them bums. And referenced all the Burrow. Like they
that's
were,
old school, like, just I devalue everything you do. You're a bum.
But that's great rivalry stuff.
Bum.
What the AFC is developing some stuff, whether it's Eagles, or excuse me, whether it's Chiefs-Bills, whether it's Bengals and Chiefs. They're,
you know what?
They're giving us some stuff rivalry-wise that's been great.
Steelers-Ravens used to be.
Yes.
And I guess it still is, but you got to be, like, really relevant, both of you. Steelers-Ravens was number one blood sport in the NFL.
These teams are talking.
This could be it. Yeah, this could be it.
There was a minute where Bengals-Steelers became something kind of, like, fun to watch like this.
In Burrow Land? Or
it was Burrow Head, but as Tony Romo called it, Burrow Land at one point. Couple of things from yesterday. I felt sorry, or as our Canadian friends would say, sorry, for Josh Johnson. Josh, go in there and get you somebody. Josh Johnson, who had been on like 38 teams, all different leagues. He was going to try to save the day for the Niners, and then he got concussed. So then Shanny, who I think Shanny would look in the mirror before the game and say, as he's holding his play sheet, nobody's smarter than you. You're the smartest guy around. You can out-scheme anybody. He had no answers because he had no quarterback. They were running the ball down 21 in the fourth because it's like, we just got to get to the finish line. The NFC title game, they had to punt on it because they couldn't throw the football. Like, that's how, you know how much that eats away at Kyle Shanahan? It kills him. And he couldn't do anything about it. And then in the second game, it became, I thought Mahomes played a tremendous game. I didn't see him. He favored the ankle a few times. There was one instance where you saw him hopping on the one foot, but I thought he was his typical dynamic self, and I thought way too much was made of last week about how Mahomes was going to struggle, and we talked about the line and all the attention. Burrow was very good. He made a bunch of clutch throws, but he also missed some stuff. I thought Mahomes played a fantastic game outside of the weird fumble.
Yeah, and I don't know if it would have amounted to a win if not for the push out of bounds. And it was the right call. And there are all kinds of calls where the officials were involved. And when the officials are really involved, sometimes it's thought of as they're being over-officious. That was the correct call. The intentional grounding, the roughing. I mean, a lot of it was the right call.
The only thing that drove people nuts
that
is
means it was really sloppy play. It wasn't bad officiating.
So the do-over, essentially, is as they call it. That was the right call. We just couldn't hear the official coming in or see him before the play. We just never seen a play being run. Zach Taylor didn't see it either, which would have gotten the Bengals off the field at that point. Now, that didn't kill them because they got off the field anyway. But how about Mahomes deciding in that one moment I'm going to run on that play before he gets pushed, going out of bounds, or as he's already out of bounds? I mean, that doesn't happen if he just throws the ball away and says, I'm going to go play for overtime. So you know how much pain he must have been in there that he hadn't run really all day. The line opened very quickly yesterday as the Chiefs laying 2.5. Then very, very quickly, the action swung the other way. A bunch of money on the Eagles. So they're now.
And I'll take the hot, really healthier quarterback with the giant pass rush.
The Eagles are 2.5-point favorites, or 2, depending on where you look. 2 at the Caesars Sportsbook. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to play the Chiefs again. I'll keep doing it. I mean, the Eagles are really good. It's quite obvious. You don't get to the Super Bowl. You don't sack the quarterback. You don't have all this stuff. I just think the Chiefs are the best team. I think between – and Mahomes, I don't know what 2 weeks is going to do for a high ankle. They'll shoot him up again, so I don't know how much it's going to make a difference. I think Mahomes is playing with such a chip. That game he played yesterday – now, there was a penalty that I don't know was a penalty. I think if they score to go up 20-3 when they hit the touchdown, I think that thing gets out of hand. Now, we'll never know because it was pulled off the board and all of a sudden the Bengals were in the game. I think Mahomes is getting his second one. I think all the love is going to be on the Eagles for the next 13 days.
There is a chance that if the Eagles don't win, Jalen Hurts isn't necessarily a big-time difference maker in the game and they lose in part because we lost because of him. There is a narrative and it will fit. Like, this is what we should have seen before him. Well, who did he really beat, especially in the playoffs? Even I said that Daniel Jones thing. I was like, folks, this is going to be a massacre. This is the setup for a team that won a first rounder going on the road to that crowd. And then this 38-7 beat him by 4 touchdowns. And so Jalen didn't have to be great. Yesterday, he didn't have to be great against first that guy and then the other guy. And so now, guess what? In the Super Bowl, you got to be great.
I would agree.
So if they lose, if it's Chiefs 35, Philadelphia 27, what should we have seen? Maybe he hasn't had to really be great yet. I don't know. That's the potential storyline.
These are two tremendous pass rushes.
I like, yeah.
And two just playmaking quarterbacks, which will give us 2 weeks to look forward to that. The Falcons did indeed make their defensive coordinator hire. I told you last week that I thought they would get it done by week's end, and it really was week's end. Friday night. About 6 o'clock, the Falcons announced they had hired Ryan Nielsen from the Saints as their new defensive coordinator. Nielsen had been with New Orleans since 2017, primarily as their D-line coach, but more recently he was promoted to co-defensive coordinator. You know he has ties with Terry Fontenot. They crossed paths in New Orleans, so I'm sure that helped. This number is one that I will bring up several times today. Since 2017, the Saints have recorded 281 sacks. That is second most in the league in that span. But at the same time, they've also finished top 4 in run defense in 4 of the last 5 years. That's a buttoned-up defense, and it always has been. So the hope and the prayer from every Falcon fan is maybe Ryan Nielsen's finally the guy. And I could go through Falcon defensive coordinators for 25 years to find the one that can be the difference maker when it comes to getting quarterbacks on the ground. Now, Jeff Duncan, who covers the Saints, tweeted this on Friday night. Big loss for the Saints. Nielsen's one of the best defensive coaches in the league. He was responsible for developing a number of Saints young defensive linemen in recent years, including Trey Hendrickson, who moved on to Cincinnati, Carl Granderson. So the hope is he can do the same here.
Yeah, you got to have personnel, though. So,
well, that's, of course. I mean, yes. But can you take the personnel and get the most out of them? The Falcons also fired defensive line coach Gary Emanuel. They fired their outside linebacker coach Ted Minichino, secondary coach John Hoke. So I'm sure he'll bring in maybe some former Saint
guys. Some personnel guys from New Orleans.
Yeah, probably bring in some guys he's familiar with. Now, I don't know if this is done, but over the weekend, the Falcons were also working on a deal to bring veteran defensive coach Jerry Gray to town to
work with him a lot.
Now, they interviewed him for the DC job. But he's a free agent, for lack of a better term, as a coach. He's not under contract with Green Bay.
And he's been on staffs and then being in charge of defenses in particular that have been hit and miss. You coach in the NFL for like 20 years, you're going to have some good staff and you're going to get fired at some point, but I really like him.
But I hope they put together the most all-star defensive staff they can. Gray worked with the Packers most recently. He's coached with Arthur Smith going way back to Washington in 07-08. So we'll see if they get that deal done. The Georgia Todd Monken watch continues. Monken did interview with the Ravens. He's expected, again, I say expected, to interview with the Bucs, but again, I've heard conflicting reports on that. I don't know what's going to become of it, because the wording of this is always going to get people. There were two different tweets and reports and rumors. I don't even know how they all meshed together that said, Monken is eyeing a return to the NFL. Okay. Is he eyeing a return to the NFL, or does he have to say that because he's interviewing with NFL teams, loves his job, wants a raise? I don't know. I have no idea. But the wording of that
one. I think you're eyeing a return. You did sidelines in 2003, was it?
With the Falcons, I did. I'm eyeing a return.
You're eyeing a return. Well, Matt, it's been two decades. No, I'm eyeing a return.
They're not interviewing me.
What does that mean? That doesn't, no, it doesn't mean anything. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. It was just a very weird sort of, he's
Brian
eyeing.
Brian Finneran is eyeing a return to the NFL.
It sounds like when one of the insiders for the NFL who cover the league called the agent, the agent says, hey, he's eyeing a return. You know what that means? He's on the other line with Josh Brooks.
Fan that one a shot.
It felt like it. It was quick, too. Very quick. And then there was the basketball weekend. The Hawks lost again, this time to the Clippers at home. Hawks stink. Georgia fought back in overtime to beat South Carolina. That was nice. Georgia Tech got nipped by Duke.
Oh, God, no. Don't even. It didn't happen. It's in like a portal. The time just disappeared. Didn't happen.
It says here in my paper, Duke beat Georgia Tech 86-43.
They doubled them.
So Georgia Tech was outscored 43-25 in the first half of the game. Then they were outscored 43-18 in the second half of the game. Josh Pastor's team is now 1-10 in the ACC. They've lost five straight by double digits. You'll remember a line I used with you, and it's a very different set of circumstances. But there was a point in Mark Richt's final two seasons where I started saying the same thing over and over. I'm like, they're getting blown out a lot. You can't come back from stuff when you just aren't competing. Now, Mark Richt actually had a history of success. Josh Pastor doesn't. But if you're Georgia Tech now, and I mean, you're trying to make a decision, it's not a decision anymore. This is easy. I mean, this is the easiest thing you're ever going to have to do. You got to find a way to eat the money, as much as it might be painful. People have completely turned off the program. I told you, it went from anger to apathy, and that's the worst place to be. And Jay Batt's got to address it by making a decision at the end of the year that says we've released him of his contract.
All right, so this is the end of January. It was, what, about 3 weeks ago or so? I don't know, 3.5 weeks ago. They had a pretty good win against Miami out of nowhere. And they were in a really tough stretch of the schedule and were already getting blown out. And then they beat a pretty decent team. Other than that, it's been just an abject nightmare. And here's the thing. I got to admit, and I said this right before the Miami game. I think it was Miami win. I said, I haven't been watching them real close. But damn, if it seems every time I turn it on, they go like 6 minutes before I see them score. Six. It's like 11 minutes. Without anything hitting bottom.
He scored 43.
Nothing.
How do you score 43 in a college game? It's impossible.
I can't imagine being a donor or a ticket holder or a student who part of the reason you go to a school like Georgia Tech is to get the degree. Like, hopefully that's the reason. But across the street and down one block, I get to go to ACC basketball. No, you don't. You don't.
You want the good news?
What?
They play Louisville. Well, I think it's, is it Wednesday night with Louisville? Louisville's 0-10 in the ACC. Jackets 1-10, so the winner's going to get a tiebreaker. How about that? Uh-huh. How is Louisville? I was walking by my TV the other day, and literally, I went to like open the blinds, and my 10-year-old's watching college basketball, and I look up at the screen, it says Louisville's 2-20.
I asked you about 2 weeks ago.
When does Louisville go 2-20? Yes. Like Georgetown's falling apart. Louisville's 2-20. Denny Crum is turning over. Is he alive or dead?
No, he's passed.
Okay, he's turning over somewhere in his career. 2-20.
Make sure Denny Crum's dead.
All right, check on that while we get a wing in an idea.
It's time to wing it. Presented by WNB Factory. Serving up Atlanta's best wings and burgers with over 60 locations. Find yours at WNBFactory.com.
Denny Crum alive or dead? Anybody? Check on that. I won't get to the bottom of it. I'll remind you, our Winging It idea will be sent to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. You're going to fill in this blank match game style. The year I graduated high school, my favorite band was blank. The year I graduated high school, my favorite band was blank.
He's alive.
He's alive? No.
85 years old.
How old?
85.
I apologize to the Crum family for saying he was dead, and he's not turning over in his grave, but he's turning over in bed, upset at the program, what it's fallen to. Sorry. Crum family. I graduated high school in 1995. This is an easy one. That would be Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam. Right in the middle of the 90s, Matt was grunge, Matt.
Were you?
Not really, but I love Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Holes in your jeans?
I didn't have any holes. No, there were no holes. But
Nike sack?
No, I wasn't a skater dude. Oh. I was a skater guy, man. I didn't do the hacky. But I just love Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots and just a bunch of those bands around that time without being grunge, Matt.
Graduated 86, May of 86, the Afterburner Tour at the Omni saw ZZ Top.
Look at you.
The 80s techno boogie.
Okay.
Bon Jovi opened for him.
Target-rich environment at the Omni?
For those that had game, yes.
Oh, sorry. You were 17, 18, right?
I was 18.
Right in the heart of, like, Chuck time.
You know what? It was still a couple of years before I figured out what was what.
Okay. Brandon Joseph, you're...
I told you what's what, by the way. This is the... I told you, tell your son this.
Okay.
Here are the two rules.
You know, I'm in the middle of something right now.
I know.
Okay.
Basically, girls like attention.
Okay.
Two, the attention they want the most is the attention they are not getting.
All right. Very good.
Figure that out. You have all the ladies you want.
LLCJ.
I'm telling you, that's the bottom line. Right. When you're talking about like silly little high school, college stuff.
You're
there you go.
Not wrong.
There's your keys.
Brandon Joseph, the year you graduated high school, your favorite band was blank.
2008, it was a Red Hot Chili Peppers Stadium Arcadium album.
What that? Dan Matthews, the band that you called your favorite when you graduated high school.
2004, Incubus.
David Holloway in for the sickly Brian Hoyt.
2011, tie between Bowling for Soup and Boston.
Bowling for Soup, huh? Is that 1985?
I like the 1985.
Foreplay Long Time?
Yeah, dude, those two are that's probably one of my favorite songs Boston's come out with. No, I was very much into older music when I was in high school, too, so.
Okay. You guys will send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We will go to New Orleans in 15 minutes for an on-site report about what the Falcons are getting in Ryan Nielsen as their defensive coordinator. Coming up next, though, it's pretty obvious after this news, there will be many more Saints marching into Atlanta now. We'll tell you who next. I don't like it. No. Happy Monday, everybody. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon, whether it's on the radio. We're on FM. Yeah, we are. We're on AM because that's still cool. And we're on an app. Kick-ass mobile app, too. You can stay locked to the show all afternoon long that way. All right. Get home. You got your in-home smart speaker. Point is stay connected. With you until 6 o'clock, and then the Front Row's audio fun bag will follow. The 3 o'clock hour of our show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast that's posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header, or at thisstuffmatters.net. Coming up in 10 minutes, the saddest story in college football right now includes two factors that the school really has no choice in. We'll tell you about that coming up. But first, the Falcons do have their new defensive coordinator. And if you are a longtime Falcon fan, we've been down this road before. The day that Mike Nolan is hired, or the day that Wade Phillips is hired, or the day Brian Van Gorder is hired, or the day that, like, go through them all, right? You hope that this is the one that, combined with enough talent, that the Falcons can get it right. And you ask, well, what is right? Give you an idea of what the Saints did right. Because the Saints, probably better than just about anybody, get the quarterback. And they've done that consistently. And maybe it's coincidence. I don't know. But since the day that Ryan Nielsen showed up in New Orleans, the Saints have been a sacking machine. I told you, 281 sacks. It's been tremendous. So now that Ryan Nielsen's here, he has a connection with Terry Fontenot. Those two cross paths there. You start to look at what will follow Ryan Nielsen to Atlanta, because the oldest NFL truism, you want some guys who speak your language and can explain to the other guys, hey, this works. Trust him. It's what worked in New Orleans. So that means a few assistants maybe come with him. We'll see. But Chuck, it seems like the 11th commandment, according to people, is that Marcus Davenport is coming to Atlanta now. This is the obvious free agent target for the Falcons. Everybody is connecting the dots in this, which I understand. Until you hear the potential price tag on a player who is good, but has never been great and has never sacked quarterbacks. His pressure rates have been a lot better than his sack rates. And this past year, even his pressure rate went down. Spotrac estimates that Marcus Davenport will get a deal worth an average of $23 million dollars a year. That based off the last deal that Frank Clark signed a year ago.
Wow. He's missed time, too.
Marcus Davenport had just 34 pressures across 282 pass rushing snaps this past season, and he's only played more than 500 snaps in a single season once in his career.
He looks right, and he can play, man. When he's been out there, he's had some moments.
But these are the mistakes that teams with salary cap space tend to make. We're desperate. This is probably the weakest part of our game, so we fully acknowledge we are going to overpay for an okay player. In this case, this would be a grand overpay.
Can I ask you real quick? You do get to poke the Saints in the eye just a little bit.
I think the Saints might be okay with you doing this.
I understand, but bottom line is they lose Marcus Davenport.
Okay,
so.
Chuck, I'm telling you, because of their salary stuff, I don't think they can keep Davenport.
Well, I know they can't, but they're so, well.
Here's what I would say to you. I'm hoping Ryan Nielsen is an honest MF-er. Who, because he coached Davenport, will look at Terry and look at Arthur and go, guys, I wouldn't pay him $23 million. I watched him every day. And he's a good player. I'd pay him 10. I'd pay him 12. But when we start getting to $23 million for Marcus Davenport.
That's Dante Fowler, $18 million sort of stuff.
And just because you have the money doesn't mean you need to spend the money.
Nah.
So consider that one every time you hear Marcus Davenport's name, that, again, Spotrac puts it at about $23 million a year.
Oh, long, thick.
Run away from it.
Extend those arms, keep the tackle off of him.
This is not the same as Jadeveon Clowney, but it's got some similar Clowney feels to it. Of like, Clowney never got sacks, but everybody was always drooling over Jadeveon because he was a physical specimen and Davenport looks the part, and he had a high pressure rate, which is not, you just don't ignore it, but the pressure rate dipped this past year and he can't stay healthy, so keep that in mind. Here's the rest of the defensive free agent list for the Saints. These guys all might be more affordable that Ryan Nielsen might want to bring in to speak his language to the rest of the team. Tano Passanone, I hope I'm saying the name right. He's been around the league a little bit. He was there, did a decent job. David Omanyata, defensive tackle. Shai Tuttle, defensive tackle. Kentavious Street. Caden Ellis is a linebacker. A couple of secondary members, Bradley Roby, PJ Williams. Those are ready to be available free agents. Here's the wrinkle for the Saints, because they're in such salary cap prison. This could be a year that guys like Cam Jordan and Mario Davis are cap casualties. And Cam Jordan, I bet Cam Jordan's 33. I think he's in that range.
He's still a pass.
I'd love to have Cam Jordan teaching my young guys how to play. Oh, I mean,
he's got like John Abraham sort of stuff to him.
I don't know what the cost is.
I don't either. He's good, man.
But I'd love to have him in the room. So keep that in mind. DeMario Davis the same way.
And you need somebody, go back to use the phrase, speaks the language. It is so important. That's why when we've talked about this so often, wasn't it Matt Schaub that showed up and was like, look, when Kyle says this, this is what he means.
I brought some other guys with him, too. Aljack Robinson played in his system.
When you
Taylor
have
Gabriel.
Somebody there who's like, I played for him. This is what this means. Sometimes, no matter how great a coach or guy he is or whatever else, you just don't want to talk to the dude. It's just different. When you sit on a plane or whatever the hell, or your best friends are, oh, yeah, I played with you in Tampa. It's big.
Cam will be 34 at the start of next
season. Okay, so I was right. I go into this again hopeful. I go in optimistic. But when you've been down this road, this has nothing to do with Ryan Nielsen, what I'm going to say. It has nothing to do with Arthur Smith's ability to hire or Terry Fontenot's relationships. I can give you chapter and verse every time we've hired a DC. And some were better than others, and some were completely lost. And we all have this first day of, oh, here's the new guy. Let's hope it'll be different. I'm hopeful. But I got to see some stuff. And the good news for Nielsen is, My guess is a part of the sales pitch to him or any of the DCs were, we got all this money to spend. We got another top 10 pick. We drafted some young guys. There's a base to work with here. Come mold it into shape. And maybe that was the reason. I don't know. He was in Vegas today. Falcons are there for the Shrine Bowl, the East-West Shrine Bowl. So he got on a bird, hopped out west. I'll have a chance to look at those players involved in
that. That's like Thursday night.
It is.
I don't mean to go way back. It was about 15 years ago. Was it Ed Hartwell that the Falcons, they had money? And we talked ourselves into believing that signing a special teams ace was a big acquisition in the offseason.
Where'd he come from?
Philadelphia.
No. He was with the Ravens at that point. I believe that.
Okay.
Hartwell was in that system. We had Ike Reese, who was a special teams guy. Ed Hartwell actually played.
That's right.
And we kind of were like,
said this is a big deal.
And then Ed couldn't play. I mean, Ed couldn't stay on the field. There was more talk.
He had money, though, and it's like, well, he started for them.
But there was more talk about Ed's relationship off the field with a Real Housewife and when it was all said and done than Ed making a difference. So it's going to be a fascinating 3-4 months with the Falcons, with all the money and everything they have to spend, but I just hope Terry's not about that life where it's like, we got it, so we're going to spend it.
Remember, Ike Reese was the special teams ace that they signed, the end of the season, I think Morton Anderson had more tackles on special teams than Ike Reese.
Nice guy, though, and a good talk show host.
Was he?
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Coming up in 5 minutes, Philly doesn't deserve this much good. They just don't. We'll talk about that. But first, the saddest story in college football right now includes two factors that a certain school just has no choice in.
And it's sad, even just understates it. There's so much good going on with the University of Georgia and the athletics there and in general everything regarding that football program. Obviously, there is the tragedy that they had a couple of weeks back right after the parade and the celebration, everything in the stadium. There has been very steady but slowish paced release of statements and information from the University of Georgia, like official stuff, like with important people's names on it. And I think that as tough as that is, because it's sort of like drawn it out a little bit from some people's standpoint, I could see that. I think UGA, the two factors that the school really has no choice in, because of the immense legal potential ramifications involved, I think UGA has to release the details of the crash, and I think they have to do it publicly. There are so many interested people that it could turn inflammatory just with a lack of information. So I don't think that they have any real choice in handling this properly. You kind of need to release the stuff that, and this is the next part that they don't have a choice in. Doing it in a respectful tone means a pace and delivery that at least from the outside may appear to drag it out. I don't think that's what's at work. I think that the last thing Georgia wanted to do is, like, the lane hadn't even been opened again, and they're in front of cameras going, wasn't us, wasn't our fault, shouldn't have been using the SUV, it was way after hours. See, that's the bad look. And it just occurred to me last night, I'm like, I just saw another statement from Georgia. I was like, no, they're actually doing what they're supposed to, because I started working out in my brain, and I invite anybody. It's already as bad as it gets. Work out the other scenarios, okay? And I mean from like the GPS of the Georgia Athletic Department, from their standpoint, all right? And there is no gentle way or pace or schedule or calendar or anything that will actually make all this easier. All you're trying to do is eventually get to the finish line of, we've been transparent and public with all this, and we're also not liable. but you want to do it in a way that's very respectful given the just immense tragedy of it. I think this is just the worst possible scenario to have to respond to. And I don't think they have any choice in some of this stuff. It sucks.
I would agree. I don't know what the timeline is supposed to be.
But you understand, like, in the immediate wasn't our fault?
Well, that's a really bad look. When you're lawyered up, like all these, whether you're a professional team or a Power Five, you've always got to have the statement prepared. Remember, the world just got very upset at the AJC for starting to do some investigative stuff into this, whether it was just the news that they were at Toppers and connecting, whether that had anything to do with it, which it didn't. But like, so my point on the timeline is take whatever time we need to get all this stuff, facts right, timeline right, autopsy, toxicology, like all this stuff. And then to your point, all right, come out with a statement. The legal part of this is always going to be first and foremost, but the statement with all the facts is different to me than coming out with little bits right now.
And see, that is what I have seen. Like, it's been a little bit of a pacing almost from Georgia. And so it hadn't all been at once in a torrent. You know what, the Damon Evans thing? The first time I saw the Damon Evans arrest, I said, this is the essence of it. Go back and look. When it was announced, Damon Evans was arrested in Buckhead last night. It was a picture that like yearbook photo of Damon Evans. And then in the background was most of that Block G logo. The very next day, the Block G logo was gone. It wasn't a Georgia story anymore. It was just a Damon Evans story and his wife and family. And so whatever, because they fired him. You can move quickly on something like that. It's a tough look to immediately go legality arm's length. And so, like I said, I understand Georgia kind of pacing this and trying to be respectful because it beats the hell out of the other scenario.
Okay, you just said the word, though, and we'll move on from it. But the word of there are two families mourning the loss of two kids. I don't care if they're in their 20s or not, kids that get all the information as accurate and as many ducks in a row before you go out public with any of this stuff. Because then the conjecture begins, and then you start connecting dots of who's more in trouble than somebody else, or who's liable, or who's going to have to pay. That accomplishes nothing. Whatever the timeline is, I have no rush in this to get to the bottom of it. Let them hopefully get everything laid out together. Much less important, but just as frustrating. Explain to me why so much as good is happening right now to this crummy city up in the Northeast called Philadelphia. From November until this very moment, they've celebrated a team playing in the World Series, a team playing in the MLS Cup, and now a team playing in the Super Bowl. They don't deserve this. Those people, and I mean those people, and I know those people, I'm related to those people. Those aren't good people. We're good people. That's why we deserved a World Series championship. We got to see it. That's why we deserve to see back-to-back national championships. We deserve that. They don't deserve this. And I can't for the life of me understand, and I'm looking up there at why the sports gods are giving those people this much. I have no answers. I'm stuck. I'm perplexed, and I don't know what to do about them celebrating more stuff like this while I'm on my couch watching.
You're going to get more text messages.
You say them, so I'm going to paint with a broad brush about a city that's, I don't know, probably I'll say like 9 million people. Is that BJ? 9 million? I'm going to broad brush 9 million people. They're not as overtly friendly to people they don't know as we are maybe in Atlanta. I don't know that they're bad people.
No, they're bad people.
9 million?
Let me explain to you something.
1.5.
Did you grow up with a guy in your house from Philadelphia?
We got 6.5 million here.
Philadelphia population, according to Google.
I saw it every day. I heard what he said about those teams.
Okay, I understand that.
But no, you don't.
They're a really good pro sports town.
That's fine. They don't deserve this. It's different. We're better people. Better people deserve things like this.
Like I said, we are more overtly friendly to strangers.
Not just that. Just who would do what they did yesterday to Bosa? Joey Bosa's there with his family. And you got some guy from, I don't know, you know, Center City.
Conchahokan.
Who's just deciding, I'm going to, you know, record him and I'm going to try to get into a battle of... Nobody would do that here. We're better. We wouldn't
take
do
it back
that
to
stuff.
The lodge at King of Prussia. And just,
we wouldn't do it.
Philadelphia Metro, 6.23 million.
Okay, you guys are getting lost in this. Come back to me. What was wrong with you people?
It was a planned city. That's why it's laid out so easy.
They got a bell that's cracked. That's what they deserve. There's their, wow, look at us. We got a bell that's good for you.
It's a good sports pro sports town.
That's good. Why don't you move there?
No, I don't want to live
guess
there.
What? Get on a plane, doctor. Delta's ready when you are.
You talked about them since November. They're 0-2 in those championship games.
But you will forget the journey is to me, as fun as anything. The finality of the loss, it sucks, and they'll lose another one in the Super Bowl in 13 days. But think about what they've had this football season. Their team was, like, undefeated for, like, 9 weeks or something. They've had the number one record, the MVP potentially at quarterback. They had that playoff run. It didn't end the way they wanted to. But the journey's almost as fun. And what we do around here, you get to talk about those big events and those big things. And they, I'm not saying we always deserve it. They never deserve it. I mean that.
But they have a day after show coming.
Oh, they do. It's coming. They're going to get another one. I think I know the reason why. More on that coming up in the days ahead. I don't want to say too much now, Chuck. That's not like my... it's not my Darren O'Day tease, but it's
5 day tease.
Correct. I don't want to say too much. Coming up next, there's a right way to prep for the NFL draft. Then there's what Stetson Bennett is doing. We'll get to the bottom of that, plus naughty numbers next. It's Chuck and Chernoff on your radio and inside your mobile app.
What's up?
Smart speaker. Look all around. There we are.
Hey, Cash.
You need some bucks?
Yeah, Squares game.
You got 13 days till a Super Bowl Squares game. You need it now.
Well, the email's out and the good squares are going to be gone.
Oh.
What? I don't do phone money.
So wait a minute. It's not just a random? You get to pick your square if you get
you sign your squares.
Okay. Typically, it was a random draw for our squares.
No. What the numbers assigned to the rows are, but you actually sign your name.
I'm familiar with how a squares game works.
So I would like to pick four good squares.
More to the point, Chuck said he doesn't do phone money.
Well, that would be an Apple Pay. That would typically be a Venmo. Cash App, perhaps.
My mom and dad do phone money, and I showed them how to do it so I could show you.
Your son will help you out there. That'll be very good. We're with you till 6. The Front Row's Audio Fun Bag will follow. Guess who's coming back? Eric Church is headed back to Ameris Bank Amphitheater. Due to overwhelming demand, a second show has been added. Eric Church and Whiskey Myers are pleased to announce a second show September 21st at Ameris Bank Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale now for this newly added Eric Church show. Listen to Chuck and Chernoff all week for your chance to win tickets. And I've got a pair right now for caller 6 at 404-231-1680.
And that knows the cap, bonuses, and all of that. He's the one that gets you gut. Front office, so don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against the wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Chuck are backup dancers. Front office, knows it all. Front office, those.
All brought to you by Entry Point Doors and Windows. Look outside. It's kind of gross. Wouldn't you rather have a pretty house to look at instead? That's what you can do with Entry Point Doors and Windows. They can change all the windows in your home. They can redo your entryway. Been doing it for over 20 years. Entry Point Atlanta. Sign up for the free estimate. As much as I'm interested in numbers, I'm also interested in that if you're drawing numbers at random for squares, how can you determine what squares are good?
Okay, I like to block my numbers together, for instance. $5 a square, and I just pulled out, I got three Mr. Hamiltons. Uh-huh. So that'll be six squares. Well, I'm going to block them in a corner. And so, like, the bottom, like, two over and three up, I'll have that whole little six-square block.
So then if I get notification about the squares games at the end, I'm just effed and I'm going to have the two fives.
Oh, you'll have random. No. You don't know. You could have seven and seven. But
you're going
to. I like to get them together.
So. Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Los, make me feel better about some naughtiness and some NFL, because I had one game that gave me some naughty fun. The other game was just not much fun.
All right. Well, how about this? On this date in 2000, Mike Jones made the tackle on Kevin Dyson in Atlanta for a Super Bowl.
Okay.
That was fun, right? That was a fun game.
All right.
All right, how about this? Pet cat, Patrick Mahomes. These numbers for him get to be better and better and more fun. So you're now looking at Patrick Mahomes as the youngest quarterback in NFL history to reach 10 career playoff wins. Here's how fast he did in comparison. Patrick Mahomes is 27 years old and 134 days. Tom Brady was 28 and 157. Ben Roethlisberger, he was 28 and 327. And Troy Aikman, who used to be the gold standard at this, was 29 years old and 68 days. So he's gotten there 2 years younger than a lot of these guys.
Here's the cruel reality of sports, especially in 2023. My eyes already tell me Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen. But unless he gets a second, in some cases more than that, Super Bowls, we're not allowed to have that conversation because it's championships or you're not one of the greats.
Well, when they were going through the game programming yesterday, they talked about how as long as he starts, your team ends up in an AFC championship game. Imagine the time he goes down in a division round. You know, that's just a standard that he has created now. How about this from Optus Stats? And you guys were talking about it early on in the show, that final drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. game tying or go ahead postseason drives that begin with 30 seconds or less in the fourth quarter. The last 30 years, Patrick Mahomes now has two of those. The rest of the league combines for two. Case Keenum and Joe Burrow each have one.
Yeah, we're at a point now, if you have a Mahomes or a Burrow or some of these guys, and you give me two timeouts, give me 35 seconds, I'm going to take over. Now, they got the big punt return, which was a game changer, certainly. But you let me start at my 35, I'll beat you.
How about this one from Amazon Next Gen Stats? And you guys brought it up a little bit earlier on in the show, talking about how Patrick Mahomes, it didn't really leave the pocket. And when he finally did on the final play, he took off. Here's the numbers from Next Gen Stats. Really good stuff here. So on that final play from scrimmage, Mahomes reached a top speed of 18.14 miles per hour. His previous high in the playoffs so far was 14 miles an hour. So he was booking it to go make this thing happen.
And I want to remind you that was on an ankle that, whether you want to call it a high ankle sprain or whatever it was, he was hobbling around earlier, and he picked his exact time when he went and did it.
What would the third down have been if they took the holding call?
So like that would have been third and 22. But that was on this drive earlier. No, they punted.
No. That's what I'm saying. What kind of respect is that? Third and 22? F that. I'm not giving him another play. Third and 22 is too much of a play to give Patrick Mahomes.
I don't blame him. I thought it was a good decision, too, because he throws a 14-yard pass there. They're going for it.
All right. How about these numbers again from OptiStats? Love this site. So here is what, when you talk about the Chiefs and how they got so much production out of rookies yesterday, it was insane. So they're the only team to have rookies combined for this in a playoff game. 90-plus scrimmage yards, 90-plus kick and punt return yards, 2-plus interceptions, and a sack. That's what they got out of their rookies yesterday.
And they got it, you mentioned, all over the place. Like, they're getting fifth-round stuff and sixth-round stuff. And Pacheco in the seventh round, they need, when you have a quarterback, what's Mahomes, $45 million on average?
$45 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Add that to Frank Clark, who's taking up a huge percentage of their cap, and then one of their offensive linemen. It's like, we better get all this and more from these kids. And in the biggest stage on the AFC Championship game stage, they all had impact.
All right, how about a name from the past? So Joe Burrow is now 3-1 on the road games in his postseason career. Had he won, he would have joined the only guy who has 4-0 as far as road starts, Jake Delhomme. Jake Delhomme started his career in the playoffs 4-0 on the road.
I love the fact that the NFL is the one sport it doesn't matter. You can be in Little Cincinnati and be as big a star as if you're on the stage playing for the Giants or the L.A. Rams. Lois, think about sports. Joe Burrow can be the face of the NFL at some point. Playing in Cincinnati. That's the beauty of that league, that you can't do that in any other sport because it's always about getting to the big city or the big market. The NFL doesn't matter.
All right, let's move over to the earlier game, which was decidedly kind of a snooze fest. Obviously, when you lose your quarterback, that's pretty crazy. So here's a number from ESPN Stats and Info. It's asking whether or not we should already look at Philadelphia as that team. As you guys mentioned, early favorite, slight 2-point favorite for this game, 13 days out. So the Eagles are the fifth team in terms of the divisional playoffs and the conference championships to win by at least 21 points. The previous four who did that won the Super Bowl.
I was trying to, I so wanted to debunk that when I saw that number. It's like, wait a minute, that can't be right. Let me go back and think about this. And I'm like, well, okay, the Falcons beat the Packers by 23 and they beat the Seahawks, I think, by 16. So I couldn't debunk any of it. I'm trying to come up with any reason that the Eagles won't win a Super Bowl.
How about this one from OptiStats? The Eagles are the first team in NFL history to score 30-plus points while allowing fewer than 10 in back-to-back postseason games. Maybe they are just that bad.
Wait, say that again?
The Eagles are the first team in NFL history to score 30-plus points while allowing fewer than 10 in back-to-back postseason games.
So I saw our friend John Kincaid, because, you know, he starts lecturing people on Twitter about, you can say everything you want about Purdy, but that great Niner defense gave up 31. But this is sports, that when you realize the snowball is rolling downhill and you can't stop it because our offense can't do anything, you start doing things like going for it.
Not fundamentally sound.
Yes, but you start taking chances and going for stuff.
Yep.
They went for a fourth down at their own 40 because the game was getting out of reach and there were seven more easy points.
You know what it is, though? There's a point, and that's the phrase, you always coach fundamentally sound until you can't. Remember Jim Tressel going for it on fourth down in the first quarter that national championship game against Florida?
Mm-hmm.
He admitted he was like, this game is over. That's what it is. When you get to the point where you're not coaching in a fundamentally sound way, you're making it a mission.
It's going to sound like, Lois, I'm trying to take something away from the Eagles. They beat Daniel Jones and half a quarterback, and I know they're the best team in the conference, but like, I don't want to lose sight of that. Patrick Mahomes is going to be a different universe in 2 weeks.
By the way, you did have San Francisco in a position where on a 4th and 9, they had to run an end around because their quarterback couldn't throw the ball 10 yards down the field.
It was Little League football because a quarterback couldn't throw the ball. And okay, McCaffrey, by the way, McCaffrey threw a bomb at one point to nobody. You saw that one on the reverse.
That did happen. Now, let me put that in perspective when you talk about the amount of injuries, and I'll just do these last couple notes for you. So the 49ers, in total, now had four quarterbacks who played for them this season. Typically, that's not good for you. Here are the other teams where that happened this year. The Bears, the Cardinals, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Rams. Yet, they made it to an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's some Shanny magic.
So that's what it was. By the way, the 49ers defense, so if y'all remember, as the game got away from them, they committed the three defensive penalties and Philadelphia was able to get back down the field. By the way, they had three total the previous week against Dallas on their defense. So you want to talk about having something happen that hadn't happened? That's what happened.
There was three on one drive. And let's go back to the quarterback thing. Not that our audience is going to care that much. I think San Francisco was in for a really interesting offseason. Do we bring back Trey Lance for cheap? See if he can still play. Purdy's here cheap anyway. Let them battle it out because Garoppolo's going to be gone. Or do they try to get whatever value's left right now in Lance and make Purdy the starter? I don't know what they're going to do, but Shanahan's going to have a decision to make here over the next several months.
And one other thing to ponder with that, had Purdy played and they played well, I think that really solidifies his place. You know how fans are. They're going to be like, why didn't you get your butt out there? Why, you know, you went out with an elbow stinger. Come on. I think that's going to end up being that talking point.
It is not quite. It's not the same bounty. But remember, like the Rams, all the crap that they got at the moment and the predictions of doom and even the 2022 season where they got a little bit injured and they just didn't have any depth because of all the trades. At least, like for the Jalen Ramsey thing, at least the Rams won a Super Bowl. This Christian McCaffrey trade, it's not that same bounty, but they needed to win a Super Bowl this year. That's why they made that trade.
Them's naughty numbers.
Thank you, Los. Appreciate it very much. All right, coming up next, Chuck has great news for Georgia fans as to why you shouldn't be worried about the future of the Monk. We'll talk about that next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.